Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Well, welcome to another fun-filled episode of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Boy, oh boy, we have been going around the country rescuing dogs. This past week, we've rescued some dogs from Georgia and dogs from the Carolinas and a dog from Arizona and a dog from Connecticut. So we are really getting around and we need your help. A lot of people have called in and written in and asked questions, and we're going to save one real good one or two for the end of the show. But we have a wonderful guest later on in the show who is making a difference with shelter dogs and helping us to turn them into service dogs. So we're very excited to have her on the show in a little bit. Well, first, the update that everyone has been asking. We have a new beagle, and our little beagle's name is Cleo. Cleo is awesome. Cleo was a rescue dog that was actually purchased from a breeder originally by an elderly lady who was very ill and unfortunately became even more ill. So poor Cleo wound up, even though she had the best of intentions through her early part of her life, at 4 months of age, she was already homeless. Well, a lovely lady in Connecticut happened to help us and heard about us. So actually, she pulled her out of the situation. So this dog didn't wind up having to go all the way into the shelter and just wound up in a rescue instead, which is certainly easier on the dog. Well, little Cleo has been selected by us to be trained for the Firefighter Cancer Foundation program that we are doing through Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, so that this awesome little dog will be detecting cancers and other health issues like Wyatt does. And she's already been doing a pretty amazing job. She's been following Wyatt around for the last day and a half and kind of learning the ropes and kind of learning what she should be smelling for and what she shouldn't be smelling for. And things are going actually great with her. So we're excited. And if you get onto our website at either merlinskids.org or unitedk9professionals.com, which is the letter K and the number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com, you can see about Cleo, our wonderful little beagle. What you can also do is Facebook friend us. You can Facebook friend our show From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, or you can Facebook friend our other show on Friday night, which is called For the Love of Dog. And you can also Facebook friend Wyatt Ridgeback or Merlin's Kids. We've got a whole family full of incredible, incredible stories and incredible animals with absolutely amazing people. So we want you to get involved. Now, one of the wonderful, wonderful parts of having a show is to be able to have unique situations on, to be able to address things that are not commonplace. And certainly, this show is a one-of-a-kind. From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, for those of you who haven't tuned in before, is a show dedicated to the rescue and shelter dogs who become service dogs through MerlinsKids.org and through UnitedK9Professionals.com. Well, what's really, really neat about the show also is how many people who come in, who meet us, like this lovely lady, Erin, who lives in Georgia, who was a vet tech in one of the shelters, and actually in one of the veterinarians who works with one of the shelters where we just got about 4 or 5 dogs from. Well, she heard about what we do, and she's one of many people around the country who are looking for something more than what they're doing with their 9-to-5 lives. People are looking to help us to rehabilitate dogs. Not only is a career to actually bring in income for, you know, for you and your family, because even though we all love to give everything away, we all have to eat. We've kind of gotten into that habit. So certainly what can happen is we can do that as a career, but there are so many other aspects that our training encompasses. One of the really wonderful things that our training encompasses is the wonderful event of going into schools around the country and implementing new programs with not just a well-behaved dog that sits there, lays there, but actually having a dog who is trained on different levels of hormones, of stress hormones and so on, and having those dogs be able to act as facility dogs for multiple children, kind of like what Wyatt does. Well, we've been hearing a lot of great things and really accolades that you can't even imagine about all of our dogs. And we're real picky about our dogs. I'll be really direct with everybody. We don't put anything through that we are not 100% confident in. So what's great about it is people say, oh my gosh, I never knew a program could be this wonderful. Well, here's the issue. Every program isn't that wonderful. And there are some people out there who are just looking for additional training. You want to learn how to do it right. You don't want to do it wrong. Who wants to do something wrong? We want to do something right. So if you are one of those people around this great country listening right now, and you say, hey, you know, I really want to work on this. I want to do this. Well, get in touch with us. We're starting our new class in about 2.5 weeks, which is going to be a dual class, not only training people to become canine behaviorists through United Canine Professionals, but also training people to train service dogs and therapy dogs, and even as therapeutic facilitators and behavioral interventionists. We train in animal adaptive therapy, which is kind of a very cool thing, and we're going to be able to really, really work with different people and making those people to know what they need to do, showing those people how to do what it is they want to do so that they're not doing it the wrong way and they're doing it the right way, which is much easier, much more simple, and much less complicated. So we want to let everybody know that we are starting a new program, a new course, and it'll be starting in addition to our regular one in about 2.5 weeks. So please let your friends and family members know and get an application in and try to be accepted to our program. We are looking for people all over the country. So enough of that right now. Let's go back to a quick moment about talking who, you know, people out there making a difference, people who are not glory hounds, people who are not looking for self-aggrandizement, who are not looking to have everyone in the world know who they are. And there's a very special lady who's going to be joining us in this next segment who is just doing great things because she's doing them for others. She's not looking to be well-known. She's not even looking to be acknowledged. And the reason I like her so much and actually have become very good friends with her is I believe you are known by the company that you keep. And when you keep company with bad people, it shows your character. And when you keep friends and company with good people, it shows your character. So hang on, because we're going to be back in about a minute and a half with an incredible guest who is going to help you to save the lives of our dogs. Please stay tuned. We will be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolfe. And today I am so excited to have our guest, who is just an incredible human being who has been through so many life experiences and has so much to teach us about not giving up on dogs. We've actually had her on our show once before. We had so many people interested in her story and in finding out more about her that we decided to have her on again. Dawn Orr, who is amazing, with United Canine Professionals in Dallas, Texas. Dawn is incredible. She has been doing this the vast part of her life, and she has just been one of those silent heroes who has been going out there, not telling everyone what she does, sometimes taking a punch for a dog, as we know, and sometimes just getting out there and making the hard decisions and taking a dog who nobody else would take and everyone else gave up on, and just taking that dog and proving them wrong, showing them that a shelter dog can rehabilitate with the right human being. Dawn Orr, I am so grateful to have you on the show again. You are amazing. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Janice. Thanks for having me back. I'm really honored to be back. I love what you guys talk about, and I'd love to be a part of it.
Well, you're a big part of it, Dawn. You've taken some dogs that I know from personal experience were not easy dogs, and you even literally took a punch for a dog. A man who was attempting to hit his dog, and Dawn got in there. We won't talk about much more than that, but she got in there and got knocked pretty well. But that dog was safe. And Dawn, just thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing. You got a new dog not long ago. Can you tell us a little bit about the dog, where he came from, and what you plan to do with him?
Well, the latest dog I've got, it's a boxer mix. Her name is Letty. She turned a year about a month ago, so she's just a little over a year old. Originally, some folks had bought her thinking that they could make their service dog, for a lack of a better word, and they had no clue. And of course, when it didn't work and she was doing typical puppy behaviors, they were going to turn her over to a shelter. And luckily, the shelter contacted me, and I went and saved that dog. And now she is with me. She's been with me for a few months. And luckily enough, Merlin's kids is going to use her, and she's going to be a service dog for a wonderful little boy. And she's doing fantastic. She's a great dog.
Well, Dawn, tell me a little bit about, because obviously she was turned into the shelter, but the shelter knew you, and that was probably what saved this dog, because I'm thinking about a boxer mix, pit bull mix. These dogs don't really have a whole lot of opportunities and options, especially in Texas. What was it about Letty that kind of grabbed you and made you say, hey, I don't care, I'm going to fix this dog no matter what? What was it with her?
Honestly, when the shelter called me and I went and just visited her, I mean, she was doing just typical puppy behavior, but you could tell that she wanted to please. I mean, when I went in there, she just looked at me, and the minute she was around me, she calmed down, and I knew that she was wanting to learn, whereas other people were just wanting to yell at her and do what, unfortunately, most other, for lack of a better word, trainers or people who think they know about dogs were just wanting to yell at her all the time and make her sit. And it was just frustrating her more because she just didn't understand. And just putting a leash on her and walking her out of the shelter that day, just to evaluate her, for lack of a better word, to see how she really would do, you know, when I was walking her, her behavior just changed. And the whole time she was always just looking at me like, what am I supposed to do? What can I do for you? And you could see it in her eyes. And that's when I knew that I needed to call you and say, I think I've got a great dog for you, and it's going to be a fantastic partnering, and it has been. She's done fantastic so far.
Oh, that's awesome. So Letty's a boxer mix, but what are the most common dogs you see in Texas? Because I know every area has its requisite glut of pit bulls and pit bull mixes. What kind of dogs do they typically have in your area, and what kind of dogs are typically the highest euthanasia rate?
In this area, like you said, unfortunately, it is the pit bull. And then after that, it is normally we've got a lot of blue heelers, Australian shepherds. A lot of the working dogs are overbred and then let loose. And they, because of a lack of a better word, of them being so bored with nothing to do, they become destructive. And they are so often turned in and put down before they even get a chance to show somebody what they can do.
So I mean, so those dogs are smarter than their owners, in other words.
100%.
Well, that unfortunately happens all too often in the world. And I find that when I'm walking around in my daily activity and I say, my gosh, these dogs are so much smarter than their owners. And that's a problem. So, Dawn, what is something that you can do? Because that's a shame. There's, you know, we're not even talking about only pit bulls. You're talking about highly adoptable dogs. What kind of things do you see common errors that people make in buying or in acquiring a dog who might not be the right breed for that family?
Well, you kind of just said it there. They don't investigate the breed. They don't research. They don't think about their lifestyle. Are they active people? Are they energetic people? Are they, you know, people that just want to come home and sit every night? And, you know, you've got these people that work long hours and they don't want to go for a walk. And what do? They get a working breed dog, a dog that needs to do something other than just lay around. And when the dog starts getting really bored and they're like, I've had it, they want to go get a new dog. And it's just like a turnover dog. And they make so many doing that. Then you've got active people that get these dogs that can't be real active, and they're like, well, he never wants to do anything. He just wants to lay around, so then they get bored with that dog. And unfortunately, so many of those dogs are the ones that get turned in.
Wow, so it really is, I mean, I know it's funny, we have to get a dog license. Once we get the dog, I really think we ought to have a dog license. Well, I think we ought to have one for children, too. But I think we ought to have a dog license that you need in order to, before you get the dog. Like, we're doing this actually in New Jersey, where there's going to be a program that anybody who rescues a dog from the shelter, that one of the big shelters that I work with, we're going to have classes, and people have to come to a class before they get the dog, so we can evaluate the family and make sure that the family has the right temperament for a dog, and if we help them choose which dog it will be. So, of course, that's a really exciting new concept, actually, you know, making a dog realize that, you know, the people realize that the dog is going to be, you know, a partner in life. I hope you're going to be able to stay with us, because I wanted to talk a little bit more about this program we're implementing here in New Jersey and see if that something like that might even be ready, or in the incredibly brilliant mind of Dawn Orr, who is, hey, Dawn, do you have a website, or can they just get you on UnitedCanineProfessionals.com?
United Canine Professionals is the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. Well, you're going to stay with us.
Yes.
You're going to stay with us. All right. And we will be right back in about a minute and a half. Stay tuned for more with Dawn Orr, with Janice Wolf, with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we have Dawn Orr, who is an incredible canine behaviorist. And Dawn, what's your official certification, your title? Let's explain to everybody what we do here.
Well, I'm a master of natural canine behavior rehabilitation. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, so explain that in layman's terms. What does that mean? You're not an obedience trainer. So what do? How do you fix a dog if you don't tell it to sit?
Well, what that does, that has allowed me to study dogs, to learn true canine behavior, understand why they're doing what they're doing, what they're going to do next, read their behavior, read their signals, so that I can communicate with them with just the same way that other dogs would communicate with each other, with just my body language, with a touch, with just a natural sound. I've never in my life been around a bunch of dogs and heard tons of conversations going on. People tend to over-talk their dogs, and if they would just learn to watch other dogs, they could fix their own dogs.
I think you're absolutely right, Dawn. You know, one of the things is with natural canine behavior is it's not scripted, and that's why people are always asking, like, I was just fixing two dogs today, and the one dog is very fearful, but the fear seems to have come on very quickly. And in explaining it to her, the lady said, well, she just had an obedience trainer over last week, and he told the dog to sit, and the dog wouldn't take the cookie because it was so afraid, and he said, well, I can't help you. So apparently, if your dog isn't hungry, it doesn't listen to you, and now it doesn't have to follow what you want it to do. So, Dawn, I mean, what's the difference in, let's say, a dog who's fearful, who doesn't accept food? So now, how do you fix a dog through operant conditioning or obedience if the dog doesn't want food? Isn't that the basic premise of working with a child or working with anybody, an animal or a human, is to have some sort of reward for getting that behavior. So if let's say like today, this dog who I work with, obviously without food, if the dog is fearful or angry or in a different state of mind where it's not interested in the cookie you have in your hand, what do you do? Where do you go after the food doesn't work?
Well, and that's a great question, and it's going to seem crazy. It's such a simple answer that it's so hard for other people to get. You have to step back and really think about it. If the dog is fearful, you can't force it to do anything because its brain, part of its brain is already shut down. So you have to step back and teach that dog. Let that know, that dog know with your energy that it's okay. You're going to take care of him now. He has nothing to be afraid of. But it's not a switch you can flip on and go, I'm here, you're going to have to be unafraid now. It takes a minute for the dog to learn to trust you. So you can't force the issue. I kind of got this this situation that I tell people, if you're afraid to get on a plane or you're afraid to get on an elevator, I can come up and say, here, if you eat this McDonald's burger, you're getting on the plane and the elevator, it's going to be fine. You're going to be great. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. It doesn't work with dogs either.
Yeah, and the gluten in the bread wouldn't be that good, and the fat wouldn't be that good either, you know. But that's funny, but yeah, exactly, you know. And to me, I know when I'm personally stressed, or my Rhodesian Ridgebacks, who are champions and grand champions and all, yada, 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 when there's something in the ring, or someone in the ring, or a little girl in heat in the ring, a little girl Ridgeback, I know that my boys are not interested in that little chunk of liver that I've got for him. So how do you handle, let's say, a dog like I did today, a dog who's fearful, a dog who's anxious or apprehensive? How do you build confidence without throwing cookies down its gullet?
To break it down to the simplest terms so people get it, it's kind of a mind over matter situation. If the dog's mind is paying attention to you and he feels that good, positive energy that you've got, he's going to want to follow you. He's going to want to do what you want it to do. So for example, let's say I'm walking down the street and, you know, one of my people that I'm helping says, oh, my dog is afraid of big dogs, and oh, my gosh, there's a big dog coming. For one, the human is nervous, so now the dog is nervous. But if we just keep walking, hey, I've got you, you let the dog feel that I'm going to protect you. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing you need to be interested in because I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you. So keep up with me so that I can do those things. The dog wants to do that eventually. So it's a mind over matter. Keep the body moving. The mind has to follow.
Very interesting that you said that, because that was half of my class today was trying to explain to the really nice lady why she had to continue going, not dragging the dog with her, but going toward it. And I have, because I've had horses and I have 20 some odd Lipizzan horses and warm blood horses and thoroughbreds still. But one of the things is I always have a phrase that I tell my riding students. If you're sitting on a horse, or put it into sitting on a chair, if you're sitting on something, you can fall off the thing you're sitting on. But if you are on, let's say, in a different way, instead of sitting on the horse, if the horse is under you, and you think about it, that the horse is underneath you so that if the horse were to disappear, you would still be there. You wouldn't fall. And I actually had that happen to me about 10 years ago. A horse actually literally slipped out from under me on the Appalachian Trail on the ice. And I landed with one foot on top of the horse, on the top on the ground, and the other by its belly on the ground. And my riding students were rejoicing and reveling in the fact that, wow, you didn't fall off. You landed standing up. Exactly. Same thing with dogs. Dawn, wouldn't you agree that if you're walking and the dog is with you, rather than I'm walking my dog or taking my dog for a walk, that you are showing a leader energy, that if you say, I'm going for a walk and, oh, my dog's with me, you're already showing leadership with that dog?
Well, absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, having to think, okay, my dog's going to turn left, so I need to turn left, or, oh, here's a tree, my dog's going to... When I'm walking, I'm not going to want to go up and sniff every tree. I'm not worried about what the guy over there in his yard is doing. I'm going to the store, so if I'm focused on where I'm going, the dog's going to be focused with me, and that's the whole goal.
Wow, and that's great, because it's so simple. I think that's what, after 30-some-odd years of doing this, I think that's the one thing that's overwhelmingly simple, is why do people try to complicate it? I've never seen, and not that there's a problem, and we don't, you know, knock any other forms of any obedience or any kind of training that doesn't hurt the dog. Now, the guy up in New York State who takes a fire extinguisher and shoots the dog with a fire extinguisher, I'd like to have him and a fire extinguisher in a dark room and take care of him myself. But basically, if you've got any kind of training that is not harming the dog and that is helping, go for it. But at United Canine Professionals, we're now in, I believe it's 37 states, 36 or 37 states, and we're looking for more wonderful people to join us, to get trained and join us. One of the great things is, it just never ceases to amaze me how simple it is, and people complicate it. They complicate their lives. They can't just drive a car. It has to have all kinds of stickers and labels and everything on. You can't just, you know, have a purse. It has to have this and that little thing hanging from it. Dogs are just dogs. Let's just let the dogs be dogs. And let's let Dawn come back and join us on another little section here of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned for some more good stuff.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're going to continue on with the incredible Dawn Orr, who is, Dawn, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what we're talking about with changing the energy of the people in order to change the energy of the dog. People don't understand that, but I know that you're going to be quite informative on that.
Well, and that's great. And that is usually what the biggest issues are when people call for help. It's they just don't get why their dog keeps doing these things. And they forget that the dog doesn't understand, why are you mad at me all the time? Why are you always yelling? Your voice is going up. And it just confuses the dog more. So if we can go in and make the people think about what you're doing. You're talking your dog to death, and he doesn't understand you, for one thing. And then the minute your dog doesn't understand you, your voice goes up, your irritation goes up, and you've just basically set your dog up to fail at that point because he's lost and confused. So if we can get the people to think about it and go, you know what? It is a cycle. I'm mad. The dog is getting worse. The dog is getting worse. I'm getting madder. So let's stop, think for a second, relax, calm down, and just communicate with the dog in a way he'll understand. Just use that calm energy. Your dog needs you to be calm because dogs naturally want to follow.
a calm person. That makes them the leader. Because I don't know about you, but if somebody's yelling at me and I've got somebody over there just, hey, come here, I can help you, I'm going to go to the person that just said, hey, come here, I'll help you. The person that's yelling, I'm going to run. And that's what dogs tend to do. And people tend
well,
to
you
get
know,
that
it makes sense, Dawn. Yeah, it makes sense because we've all, especially we ladies, have had relationships in the past. But even if you, you know, care about something or somebody, you know, there's a point at which, and I've reached one, I'm reaching one now with a particular situation, where the situation is just toxic. And I think sometimes we become toxic to our dogs, where we become so angry, maybe not even having anything to do with the dog, but people going through maybe a bad relationship or people going through, you know, a marital issues or business or someone loses a job or the kids are in trouble or whatever it is. And unfortunately, the dogs just want to help us. But, you know, I've seen it where the dogs, and I'm sure you have, you know, where the dogs are just trying to come up and I love you and somebody gives them a backhand, get away from me. And the dogs just don't deserve it. Dogs are better than people. And if you all haven't figured that out after listening to this show and our Friday show, For the Love of Dog, you guys got to be listening a little bit more. Dawn, what do you see as far as, I don't want to say abuse, but as far as things people do to dogs in attempting to correct behaviors, what are some of the craziest ones you've seen personally?
And I don't really like to talk negative about, you know, certain way people train, but the choke collars, the shock collars, I mean, and the dog doesn't even know where's this pain coming from. They don't get it, or they take the leash and they wrap it around their waist and around their head and they're yanking the dog, yelling at the dog. I mean, I swear, if I'm out in public and I hear sit 500 times, I want to get up and smack somebody and tell them to sit. I mean, after a while, please stop talking. Your dog is already bored with you.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe the dog's bored because he is smarter than his owner, because I think that's most of the time. But you brought up something really good. There's a new gadget out, and we're not big proponents of gadgets. There's only a very, very, very few things we do, and there's only one gadget other than a very simple slip lead that we use. There's a new gadget, and I've seen people do this for years, but recently, and it was just funny timing, in this past week, I actually had somebody write in with a warning to our listeners to tell them, please do not put the leash wrapped down the dog's back and around its midsection where the soft belly part is to try to keep the dog from pulling. They said, oh, yes, it works great, but unfortunately, this one dog, it ruptured the dog's spleen. It was that tight, and it's not that it was, you know, tight on it the whole time, but when the dog lunged forward, which we could have fixed with a lot of other things other than doing that, when the dog lunged forward, this gadget got kind of stuck, and it actually went kind of up under the ribs because of the way it was sitting and the way the dog pulled, and the dog ruptured its spleen. I didn't want to know if the dog is okay or not, but rupturing a spleen is not a good thing. It's the largest blood support and blood storage of the body, and I don't even have one anymore, but you can actually die from that. So there are new gadgets that are coming out. Why don't we just stick with nature, for goodness sake? I mean, did God say, oh, here, I will create dogs, and then I will create man who can torture the dog with stupid devices that somebody's trying to make money from? People are well-intentioned, but it's not the gadget. If your dog is pulling, and Dawn can corroborate this, if the dog is pulling, if the dog has behavioral issues, it is not going to be fixed with a gadget. Can you prevent the dog from pulling when you use one of those gadgets? Yes. And after you spend $5,000 and an unsuccessful surgery because your dog's spleen is ruptured, or you've got spike collars in it, or your dog is petrified of everything now and fearful because you got a shock collar, is that what God created when he created dogs? I don't think so. And, I, you know, Dawn, what do you think? Like, what are the the gizmos and gadgets that you've seen people kind of on the wrong side, especially when they get a dog from the shelter and they kind of have preconceived notions of, ooh, he might be bad because he's a shelter dog, apparently like a, you know, like an adopted child is inherently somehow bad because it didn't come from you. It might have a better chance of success because it wasn't raised by you or wasn't biologically yours. So what kind of gizmos and gadgets are your pet peeves, Dawn?
My first two, seriously, are the prong collar and then the shock collar. Because people, they don't really understand how to use them. I'm not a big proponent of using them. I know that some people have, and they might work. But if you don't know how to use them, you're relying on something to fix something that you don't even know how to fix. So you're basically abusing the dog because you have no real knowledge of what you're doing. To where if we would just stop and think, instead of like, let's rely on something to fix your dog, instead of you doing it, teach the dog so you don't have to every day tell your dog, sit, stay, don't walk, no, here. Where if you just taught your dog, he would learn to do it. You don't want to have to do obedience and tell your dog every day what to do, every walk what to do. And that's what those gadgets are for. You're too either inexperienced or, and I'm sorry to be mean, lazy. I'm just going to put the collar on every time he does something I don't like. Zap. How is that really nurturing your dog? It makes no sense to me. When the dog wants to please you, if you taught it how, he would do it.
Yeah, exactly. And Dawn, you know, I think the really important thing also is that people don't understand. They try to prevent the behavior. So in other words, they'll try to, you know, zap the dog for barking or, you know, whatever, zap the dog for growling at another dog. Well, yes, obviously you have to fix it. But they don't understand that the reason the dog is doing that is that he thinks he's a leader. If your dog thinks he's in charge, that's his job. That's like, you know, getting mad at the boss of your company for making a tough business decision. He owns the darn company. He's got to make the decision. Don't make your dog make that decision. You've got to be in charge. And we're going to go through that in a few minutes. Stay tuned for more Dawn Orr and Janice Wolf from Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we're continuing on with Dawn Orr, and we're talking about some pretty maybe scary things. We were talking earlier about a dog who she rescued named Letty. And I've got to think that Letty would have probably been gone by now, up and floating around over the Rainbow Bridge. It's very, very sad to think that there's just so many great dogs dying every single day. 4 million dead dogs a year. I mean, the numbers are just staggering. How many tens of thousands of dogs a day are dying across this country? Well, if you want to learn how to train your dog to be a service dog or a therapy dog, you can actually do that all over the country. We have a number of wonderful locations We have a location right near Dawn in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. We have places that are going up as we speak, up in Detroit and Chicago and down in Atlanta. We've got a new amazing facility that we're purchased in Missouri, about an hour from St. Louis, which is a beautiful 82 acres. We're going to build that up. And, of course, we have New Jersey and New York. So we really are expanding out. And a lot of people will call us and say, you know, I found this great dog, and, oh, but he's a rescue dog, and, you know, I don't know if he can turn into a service dog. Well, I've kind of said during the years, the way I look at it is the average, if we take 1,000 dogs and 1,000 dogs who are out there, probably about 10% or 100 of those dogs could be good therapy dogs, could be really good therapy dogs, rock solid, that could graduate through our very stringent process and procedures at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. But how many of those dogs can then be real legit service dogs? And I'm not talking about a dog that, you know, you say it and you buy a patch or you buy some vest online with a fake ID card that doesn't list any particular person or company who trained you. So, I mean, how many can be legit service dogs? Well, out of that 1,000, where 100 could probably be very good therapy dogs, maybe 10 dogs could be service dogs. So it is a very, very tricky kind of balance of finding the right dog with the right energy, with the right temperament, and the right people behind that dog and in front of that dog to be able to train it in the proper things it needs to become a very confident, calm, great dog who's non-reactive to things. And that's what we do at Merlin's Kids. And that's actually what Dawn and I do, among other people, at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. We take dogs like Letty. We take dogs like the little beagle I just got today, Cleo. We take dogs that like Zuri, who is Aiden's dog, and we take dogs all over the country who are just exceptional dogs. And rather than having these dogs die, we give them a new life and a new purpose. I also want to say a quick shout out to two people who are very, very special to me. Jody Joseph, the future Dr. Jody Joseph up at Cornell, who is studying very hard to become a veterinarian so that she can give us free vet care at Merlin's Kids. So we can't wait for Jody to get finished with all her gross anatomy lab. And she's just an incredible, incredible person. She's also certified through United Canine Professionals. So anybody up in the Cornell, Ithaca area, you've got help up there, Jody Joseph. And also to Kyle Vicinda. Kyle, who is in New Jersey down near the shore, who just lost one of her very precious dogs today. And we wish her and Lenny very, very sad condolences on losing Husk. He was a heck of a great dog, and he was a pit bull, best dog in the world. So we just want to tell them we love you guys, and we've got a great new class starting that's going to help and, rescue more great dogs like Husk and rescue more great dogs like Jody's little Lester, who came from Costa Rica, another rescue dog. But we're going to finish up today with our very own Dawn Orr. Dawn, tell me a little bit about what you look for when you're, evaluating the temperament on a dog, whether it's for a private pet or it's for a possible therapy dog or service dog, and a little bit about each one. What do you look for a pet, and what do you know that most people don't know? So with a pet and also with a service dog, what do you look for in each, and tell everybody kind of what they should be looking for if they're looking for a dog for either of these purposes?
Well, that's a great question. For a pet, I want to know what kind of lifestyle you have, kind of like we mentioned a little bit earlier. Are you an active person? Are you, a couch potato? Or are you just wanting a little lap dog? And then so when we go look for this dog, I want to find out how the dog reacts when we get there. Is it a wild, crazy dog jumping? Is it, is it reactive to me? Is it paying attention to me when I walk in? So that I know that when we get it out of there, it's going to want to learn to please. Some of the dogs have been in there for so long, or they've just been so mistreated that it's going to take longer. And the average new pet owner, when they bring the dog home, they want a miracle dog. It's going to be my great dog right now, and that's not always the case. So is the new pet owner going to be responsible enough to make sure that the dog is successful? Are they going to set that dog up for success? And then as far as for service dogs, therapy dogs, it's a lot of the same thing. I mean, I want to know, where is this dog going to go first? I don't want to really blindly go and go, oh, that might be a good dog, that might be a good dog. What kind of family is this dog going to go to? What kind of individual? And that way, I know what to look for. What size dog? What temperament? Is this dog going to have to always be working for this child or this adult? Is he going to be doing physical work for this child or adult? And then go from there. So when I go in, is the dog responsive to me? Is he looking at me? Does he want to please me when I'm there? And then we know once we get it out, it's going to be easy to train. We've got to stop and think that we're not going in wanting to teach a dog to sit, to stay. Because service dogs, therapy dogs, we don't want to have to tell that dog every day to sit. That's not what their job is. Their job is to have the behavior so that they know what we need it to do. So that's really big to know, is this dog going to be really responsive to what we teach it, so that we don't have to every minute sit, stay, come, stop, all of those things.
Awesome. All right. So in other words, people really need to contact, either do it themselves or contact somebody who is a really good canine professional. People can contact us at United Canine Professionals through our 800 number, which is 855, the number 4K9Pros, or our website at www.unitedk9professionals.com, or they can contact us at Merlin's Kids, our favorite 800 number, Wyatt, 855. Hi, Wyatt. 855, hi, Wyatt. You can't forget that one. Or at merlinskids.org. And again, reminding them that we are going to be starting our new class. We've probably only got 2 spots left, but we are looking for people in the southern and western, particularly, and Arizona areas. So if anybody's got friends or family who are looking to either work with special needs children with dogs in school facilities, or if they are looking for perhaps a situation where the people are looking for a career rehabilitating dogs to make a career out of it and helping people in training the humans to rehabilitate the dogs, or if you're looking to train your own dog to be a service dog for your special needs child or adult or a PTSD dog, or just a therapy dog to read with the kids and to become certified and be literally the best behaved dogs out there, you need to contact us. You have great people on our team, including the inimitable, wonderful, amazing Dawn Orr, and of course myself, and people in 36 countries, and Bulgaria, Finland, Scotland, where are we also? Canada. And, of course, Australia next year. So it's very exciting. There are great people all over this country. There are people inside our country and outside our country, all dog lovers. And we want all of you to unite to help us so that there are not 4 million dead dogs next year like there were this year. The more people we can train through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com and Merlin's Kids, the more dogs we can save, the more people who can get great dogs. And please, spay and neuter your pets, because if you spay and neuter your pets, we won't have more dogs to put to sleep next year. Dawn Orr, amazing lady, great interview. We love having you. We definitely want to have you back. Do you have any parting words that you'd like to tell our audience?
The only thing I've got is just, think before you get a dog and be responsible enough to stop and ask for help. There's always hope for your dog if you just know how to talk to your dog. And we are here for you.
Well, thank you, Dawn. And we'll see everybody next week. And, of course, we'll see everybody else on Friday with our Friday show for The Love of Dog, also 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And from Janice Wolf and the amazing Dawn Orr, thank you for joining us on this episode of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Have a wonderful week.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.